today I was wanted to give the presentation on forbidden archaeology, which maybe you're already familiar with that. You've seen that before?
I've seen the book. I haven't read the full one, but I've seen the book.
You've seen the book, but didn't read the complete. Or you read something at all?
Just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
It was hard for me to read, sorry.
Yeah, it is. But it's very interesting. But it's technical. It's very technical. Have you seen it? This presentation. Someone has seen this presentation before? No. It's Dutch Harmer's presentation. The Forbidden Archaeology was a project that Sataputa and Dutukharma, two prophets, devoted scientists, they undertook in the 1980s, where they looked into all archaeological evidence regarding the origin of human beings. With the idea, let's have a look at if actually there could be some evidence for humans, you know, not only thousands and tens of thousands of years back, but millions and millions of years back, as it is stated in the Vedas, in the Puranas, and so on. Because we learn that, what we learn from, you know, the general society, we learn in schools and modern science, is that human beings have only existed. I mean, when I went to school, they say 40,000 years. Later on, they raised it to like 100,000 years. Now they will agree to like 200,000 years or something like that. But still, that's nothing compared to what you have in the Vedic literature, where it is described how there have been human beings like us for millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of years back. Actually, all the way back, as long as this, you know, Earth has existed, as long as the universe has been in being, then there have been humans like us, and all the other species also, by the way. So they ask themselves, you know, so why don't we hear about any archaeological evidence for that? So they started looking a little into that. This is what came out of it. They published a big book about it in 1993, and, you know, actually documented that is actually evidence for humans much, much further back than what we are generally told. And so I've got involved. I mean, I was fascinated by that when the book came out. I immediately got it and I read it, and it's a very thick book, 800 pages, and there's more than 100 archaeological discoveries being discussed from all over the world. And later on, I translated not the complete big one, but a condensed version for more popular reading. I translated that and published that, and then. And then I had good opportunity to also, you know, work with Dutch Harmer. I invited him to come and give lectures in Denmark, where I'm from. On two occasions, I arranged lecture tours for him. And, you know, so I've been, you know, somewhat little associated with him. Got to know him. So this is actually his presentation, but he told me I can also give it. And I think it's an important, very important contribution to, I mean, not only science, but also to our understanding of Vedic literatures, that it's not just to be taken symbolically. You know, we are dealing, when you talk Purana, means history, or it means old descriptions, and these are actually not just old mythology, it's actually history. And this is one piece of evidence that, you know, points to that we're actually dealing with some actual history. So, I just want to, let's start immediately and look at some archaeology, which is can be very interesting. So here is the first piece of archaeology today. As you can see, these are footprints. They're very famous. It's a very famous archaeological discovery. Someone knows where that is from. There are no archaeologists here. So it's from, what?
Australia.
Yeah, no, Tanzania. I think it's called Tanzania in English. Africa, a place called Laetoli. And these footprints were discovered in 1979. And they're dated to be 3.7 million years old. Let's see. Yeah, here they are. To the right, you see an overview of all of them. There are 56 footprints all together. It's three individuals, two adults and one child, walking in volcanic ashes, which then immediately after again being covered by another layer of volcanic ashes and preserved like that. And to the right, you see one of the footprints being measured. So these were discovered by an English archaeologist, Mary Leakey, very famous. And what was striking about these footprints to her was how much they looked like human footprints, like our footprints. She wrote, "The Laetoli footprints are indistinguishable from modern human footprints." Tim White was another scientist who was there. He was actually the one who was doing the work of digging out, uncovering these footprints with very fine tools and spoons and small knives like that. And he said, make no mistake here, they are like modern human footprints. And that's very surprising, because 3.7 million years ago there was only supposed to be what is called Australopithecus, which is basically a very monkey-like creature, something like a chimpanzee, more or less, and nothing like humans at all. And their feet are like monkey feet, and monkey feet are very different from human feet. They're like actually like our hands. You know, here is a hand, and it's basically typical of our hand in a position to our feet is like the thumb. Is very flexible and movable, which is practical also with your feet like that if you're climbing trees. But our foot is different, and the big toe is fixed, and it's longer, it points out longer than the other, you know. So our feet are very different from monkey feet, actually. And so that's a little, that was surprising. So they didn't think that, you know, Australopithecus did not have human feet. Does that mean that Mary Leakey and Tim White, they thought there were human beings like us living 3.7 million years ago in Africa? And actually, no, they didn't think like that. They thought there must have been someone like that. Someone, looking like that, very much what we consider primitive, human, monkey-like, ape-like, but with human feet like that. And that's, of course, a possibility. You know, we cannot say there were, you know, who knows if there were not someone looking like that. But what we know, that the only known creature that has feet like a human being is a human being like us. We're not aware of anyone else who have feet like that. So, what to think of that? If it was the only one, the only discovery like that, then maybe one could write it off. And that's what scientists can do. These footprints are very, very famous, and they've often been cited as footprint of Australopithecus. But they're not. I mean, they're not typical feet of Australopithecus. Let's just have a look at what they consider, like you can say, the conventional scenario, the standard age and dating of humans on the planet. And I don't know if it's completely clear, but it's, again, as I started to say, it's something like human beings like us, that's about to back around 200,000 years. Then you have Neanderthals, and then you have Homo erectus, and then you go further back, you have someone called Homo habilis about 2 million years ago. And then, as you know, 5 million years ago, it's different kinds of, they call them Australopithecus and like that. And you come back, and they're very ape-like. They're very, you know, it's, and if you come back, like, you know, even, you know, go back 10 million, 20 million years ago, there's no, I mean, there's not, no resemblance of humans at all. That's a standard scenario. And, life itself began something like 3.7 billion years ago, and for the first, actually first 3 billion years, up until the time of like 550 million years ago, there were only unicellular organisms, like more complex organisms. They came only like around 500 million years ago in what is called the Cambrian period. So that's kind of the standard scenario that we have presented. So, but here, okay, so here are Dutta-Karma and Richard, or Sataputta, also known as Michael Cremo and Richard Thompson, who, when they got familiar with this late Tolly discovery, started that maybe there are other discoveries like that. Let's have a look at it. And as a result, they started looking at it. First, they started looking for, you know, going to libraries, looking at books like that. And then they spent, they thought, we'll spend a week doing like that. And then they spent a week, and they actually found something in the, not in what they call the secondary literature, which is what we generally read. Secondary literature is like textbooks in schools, or what you read in the popular science magazines, and what you present for in on the TV, and you know, nature programs and National Geographic, stuff like that. But so there's no evidence of or mention of humans millions and millions of years ago. But then they found actually that in the primary scientific literature, which is the original writings of the scientists, it's a field reports from archaeologists, you know, on the site, noting what they're finding, and what was originally published in the professional scientific journals. Actually, they found there is mention of archaeological discoveries of humans going much, much further back than what we normally are presented. So they found something. So then they, you know, the 1 week they were looking into it became a month, and it became 2 months, and it became 1 year, and it actually became 8 years, where they were just, you know, finding more and more pieces of evidence and researching them and going deep into them. And as a result, then they published this Forbidden Archaeology in 1993, along with The Hidden History of the Human Race, which is the same book condensed. All the same cases are there in the condensed version, but not discussed in the same detail. And then I make advertisement for the Danish book also, which I don't think. Do you have Forbidden Archaeology here in?
You mean English?
Yeah, but in English, yeah, also for.
Not Slovenian for sure.
No. You have an English here for sale, or?
I think in the shop here
also. Okay, good. Okay, so you can get it. Also, my book has one chapter on it. Dutta-Karma wrote one chapter in my book, so that also, of course, not to the detail, but you can read that and also get an, you know, an over or you know, basic idea about the work. So So let's have a look at some more archaeological examples from their work. This is from Mexico, and in a place called Cuayatlico. It's a discovery from 1973, which is dated to 250,000 years. Now, that's not so extremely old. I know that here, for example, in Slovenia, you have archaeological discoveries that are old. You have a, I think they've said that there's found kind of a, isn't it a flute here of in a bone, a bear bone that was carved into a flute that is 500,000 years old. Here, huh? Yeah. So, but who made it? So they say these were made by Neanderthals. But how do they know? They just know they found it. That they can say for sure. But they don't know who made it. But that's a speculation because they have the idea that the Neanderthals were living at that time, not us, not human beings like us. But they don't know. So 250,000 years wouldn't be so anomalous if it was found here in Europe or Africa, places like that. But in America, it's completely out of place because humans like us are not supposed to have been in America, whether North America, South America, for some say 12,000 years. And if they are really, you know, generous, they say 30,000 years. But so 250,000 years, that's completely anomalous. So, but nevertheless, that was what this archaeologist, Cynthia Irvin Williams, discovered. Well, actually, she didn't discover, but she was leading the excavation of a big collection of stone tools, which was being founded, you know, here's from the excavation taking place. Here you see one stone tool still in place. Stone tools like this, a big collection of stone tools, very, very fine stonework, normally associated with the Cro-Magnon humans, which are humans like us. And it is, you know, very, very, very beautiful stonework, stone axes and like that. So the archaeologist, Irvin Williams, she did not know how old these stone tools were. Therefore, she invited a group of geologists from the U.S. Geological Survey to come to Mexico and date this site. So they came, three geologists came, and they dated it. First, they took some bones that were also found, bones from camels that had marks from having been butchered, knife marks on them. So those they could date, and they got an age of 245,000 years old. Because also one point is, you cannot date stone tools. You cannot date stone directly. You know, there's different dating. Sometimes I say, couldn't you carbon date them? But you cannot carbon date stone. There's no carbon in stone. You can only carbon date organic matter. And actually, you can only date it back to something like 50,000 years, not further than that, with carbon dating. But they have other, you know, and use other methods. So there was a uranium dating, so-called uranium dating of the bones, and that gave an age of 245,000 years. A layer of volcanic ash that was lying above the stone tools was dated to 270,000 years, and they also used two other dating methods. And then they, in all, they reached the conclusion that these stone tools at Huayatlico, at least they're 250,000 years old. So that was a geologist, you know, professional geologist, and they, okay, this is our result. They presented it to the archaeologist. When the archaeologist heard that, they said, that's not possible. We cannot accept that. This is out of question. There were no humans in the Americas 250,000 years old, so this is just impossible. And the geologist said, but we dated it. We use the same methods that, you know, we use for dating everything else. This is the date. But the archaeologists simply refused to publish. They would not accept it, and they would not publish the dates. And that was basically it. Finally, the geologists, they went on, and they published it themselves. And that caused also a big confrontation with the archaeologist. This is Virginia Steen McIntyre. At that time, she was a very young woman. She was just newly educated as a geologist. This was her first job as a geologist. It was also her last job as a geologist, by the way. After that, she couldn't get jobs. And she explains, there's a letter, from a letter she wrote in 81. Not being an anthropologist, I didn't realize how deeply interwoven into our thought processes the dominant theory of the evolution of man is. Our work at Huayatlaco has been rejected by most archaeologists because it contradicts that theory, period. So that's what, that was what happened. And you don't hear about this discovery at all, but that's what, that's one example. Let's see here. Here's another one. This is from Europe, Germany. Northern Germany, a place called Schöningen. This is from 1997. I mean, it's after the period when forbidden archaeology was published, but Drutokarma especially has been going on and come bring up newer cases. And there's constant new cases coming up, even, you know, to this day. They're still finding more evidences like that. So there they found some spears, you know, a spear, a javelin, so you throw, that were dated to 600,000 years. Here's from the excavation. There's a reference to, you know, it was presented in the journal Nature. And that was also quite sensational. They didn't think until that time that there were people living who could make such advanced implements as spears, very very first class spears. So then, of course, they had to ask who made it, who made these spearheads. There were no human beings like us that we know. So therefore, it must be this creature, Homo erectus, which is supposed to be a kind of an intermediate between apes and humans, more primitive, not so. And that was a little sensation because until then they didn't think that he could make such advanced tools. He could make fire, and he could take some stones and then break them and then use a sharp edge or something like that. But makes really finely worked tools. They didn't think he was able to do that. So then, but then they, you know, just upgraded his status, and so that was their conclusion. But maybe there were humans like us living there. It's actually there has been found more direct evidence of humans like us in the same age from the same place or approximately the same place. If you go back in the middle of the 1800s, at a place called Moulay Quignon in France, in 1863, they actually found a jaw was found, like a jaw here, and also numerous other bones of humans like us, apparently like humans like us, that actually must be 600,000 years old. Here you have the jaw that was found, a drawing of that. It was found by this Boucher de Perthes, who is one of the most famous archaeologists of the 1800s, from the 1800s, French archaeologist, and on the very careful excavation, and he documented that this jaw was found in layer which is 600,000 years old. He didn't give a date at that time. They couldn't give precise date in years, but they could give according to the layer. They could say it's from this period. That's what they could do. And the discovery caused controversy because many scientists were not ready to accept the presence of humans that far back. So there was a satirical drawing from that time where scientists, they were discussing about the age of this jaw forth and back. But finally, it was kind of rejected by the mainstream of scientists. And Boucher de Perthes was somewhat ridiculed for claiming that this jaw was that old. As a reaction to that, Boucher de Perthes, he went back to the same site with a group of colleagues, and they continued digging, and they actually discovered about 100 pieces of bones from humans like us at the same place from the same age. And they reported that too, but that time nobody paid attention to them. because they kind of, you know, they had been rejected from mainstream science at that time. But it's reported he found them. So there is actually evidence of humans like us from the same period as when these spears were made in Germany also. So it could be, looks like it could be actually humans like us who also make these spear points found in northern Germany. There's a drawing of where these bones they were found. They were found in the quite in the lower layer.
You can see down here in this lower layer.
That's where they were found. Now we go to another discovery in Indonesia from 1996 from an island called Flores. Maybe you heard, it's famous now because they found what they call the Hobbit at Flores. Have you heard, someone heard about that? No? Okay, that's also quite recent discovery. But, so anyway, if you don't know about it, then forget about it. This is not the Hobbit, but it's another discovery at the same island, Flores, where a collection of, you know, stone tools like this were found, again, very beautiful stone tools, clearly worked by someone, by humans, dated again to 800,000 years. And again, the question came up, who made these stone tools? And since there are no Homo sapiens living at that time, again, it must be Homo erectus, who, on the occasion, put on his fine clothes to celebrate that actually now he had been elevated to a level of culture that nobody had ever thought of before. And actually it's not the stone tools themselves that are that advanced, but the reason why suddenly he has been elevated to such a cultural state is because of the geography of Flores. Flores is an island here. Indonesia is just islands. So Flores is one island in Indonesia. It has been an island for the least for many millions of years. So the question then became, how did Homo erectus get to Flores in the first place? Swimming? Could be. Well, the archaeologists concluded he made a boat. He made a ship and then sailed there, which was, you know, really a big, you know, bold proposal, because this is, you know, building ships is very advanced, and they had never thought that Homo erectus will build ships. The first ships recognized boats were from the people who sailed to Australia, and that's something like 60,000 years ago. But now they elevated Homo erectus up to the level of being able to build ships. Actually they didn't have to do that if they really considered all the archaeological evidence that has been found also in this area. If you look at the map and you see up here, you can see to the left there is the island of Java. And at Java were actually made some very interesting discoveries of modern humans like us from the same age. Have you heard about the famous Java man? It's known. So we'll have a look at Java man, which it was a discovery from the 1890s, 1891, 92. And this discovery is actually of the same age as the stone tools at Flores. What was found at Java at that time was first of this skull from. This is not a human skull like ours. It's a more primitive skull. I mean, more ape-like, bigger, more, you know, different anatomy than a human. So that was found in 1891, and 1 year later, this thigh bone was found. Now, this is, I don't know if you, how aware you are with anatomy, but you have a thigh bone. You know, I have two of them. I mean, we all have two thigh bones. This, you know, the upper part of the leg, the thigh bone. This is what a human thigh bone looks like. So what was found was a skull that is not human-like, but a thigh bone that is very much like our thigh bones. And Eugene Jubba, the Dutch archaeologist who was made these discoveries, he claimed they come from the same individual. And thus, that was the birth of Homo erectus, or as he was known that time, Peter Canterprus erectus. And he was declared to be a missing link between humans and apes, and it was actually a very significant discovery, because until that time, they had no intermediate between humans and apes had been found. And there were actually a good number of scientists and archaeologists who were willing to accept the idea that there had been humans like us millions and millions of years ago. But another group of archaeologists said, no, humans must be of very recent date. So there was both opinions were amongst the scientists. But now suddenly it was shown here is an intermediate. So from that point on, all the ideas of humans having been lived for millions and millions of years ago were actually dropped from that point on. So it was a very, very like significant discovery, the Java discovery. And but then what is interesting about this is that later on they actually found more. They discovered more findings of Homo erectus, more complete skeletons later on in the 20th century. And in all these skeletons, the thigh bones are not like this. The thigh bones are, it's a complete different anatomy. And the only instance of an Homo erectus thigh bone associated, I mean, with Homo erectus is this particular one. So, in the 20th century, archaeologists actually concluded that this thigh bone and the skull, they cannot be from the same individual. And it also makes sense, because I don't know if you can, it's clear on this drawing up there, but they were found quite much apart. They were found in the same layer, but there was 15 meters between them. And there were numerous other bones of animals and so on. So there's no compelling reason why these two had to be from the same individual. And nowadays they conclude they were not from the same individual. This means there was an anatomical thigh bone from a Homo sapiens found there. That means there must have been Homo sapiens at Java 800,000 years ago. And it might well be those Homo sapiens who also were living at Flores and leaving these stone tools that were found there in 1996. It's a possibility. It's definitely a possibility. So now here, this is another discovery. This is from 1913 from Olduvai in Kenya. It's a complete skeleton, human skeleton was found there. That was dated to between 1.15 to 1.7 million years old. It was found by a German professor from Berlin, Professor Hans Reck, and it was found, you can see here's the place where it's found, and to the left you see the skull, not the complete skeleton, because that is not, that doesn't exist anymore. The skeleton was kept in a museum in Munich during the Second World War. This museum was bombed and the skeleton was destroyed and disappeared, but they still, somehow or another, they were able to rescue the skull, but not the complete skeleton. So the skull is still existing. And this skull was hotly debated. I mean, the whole skeleton was hotly debated for more than 20 years after, because the colleagues of Hans Reck would not accept it was that old, although he insisted. It is found in what is called layer 2, and it was firmly embedded in layer 2, and all the layer around it was completely undisturbed, because that's generally what the first objection will be there when someone finds a like an old skeleton in a context that is too old. Immediately someone will suggest it must be from a grave. You know, someone in a recent age made a grave and put a skeleton down there. So that's the archaeologists, they have to check for that. And Hans Reck was of course aware of that possibility, and he stated very clearly, no, everything was undisturbed around it. And he even excavated the complete skeleton with a whole matrix of layer around it. So it's, I mean, there was no reason to dispute the AIDS, except it doesn't fit into the current theory of human origins. But this debate was going on forth and back for 20 years. And then finally, Hans Reck, he just stopped arguing. Seems like he just got tired of discussing. And so that's, from that point on, you don't hear more about that, and it's forgotten. Nobody knows about this discovery. But here, there it is, a skeleton, a complete skeleton that is maybe as much as 1.7 million years old from Kenya. Now we go to another interesting discovery around of the same age, 1.5 million years old from Argentina, South America. Again, remember South America, no humans were there until 12,000 years ago. Still, in 1896, this skull cap, this is an anatomically Homo sapiens skull cap, was found during an excavation in the port, in the harbor in Buenos Aires, when workers, they were digging for making a dock in the harbor. They were digging 15 meters down through different layers, including a layer of tusca, which is a layer of very hard limestone. And under this tusca, they found a skull that this scientist, Florentina Amagino, confirmed must be 1.5 million years old. And Amagino there was quite very, very competent professional geologist, archaeologist, and quite a recognized Argentine scientist in those days. And he studied the finding and the skull and said, and confirmed it is from that age. Again, that caused a lot of controversy, and most scientists would not accept it, and they rejected it, and Amagino was actually also ridiculed and more or less, again, marginalized, rejected because of this discovery. But it was found. And what's interesting is, anyway, I'll get back to that. This is not the end of the story, except it's, you know, I'm going to present a few things before, but we're going to come back to this, to the continuation of this, what happened after this discovery. Now we're going to England, a place called Walton-on-Naas in England. In 1881, a discovery that is 1.5 to 2 million years old, a clam like this was found that you can see has a very clear, you know, fine carving of a face. I mean, it's not like an advanced art or sculpture, but clearly someone has, you know, cut out two eyes, a nose, and a mouth in this clam. So that was reported 1.5 to 2 million years old, and such a face doesn't arise just naturally. Someone has made a face on that. Here is the place where this was found. Another, this, yeah, it was found in the what's called the red crack. You see the kind of orange red layer there. That's called the red crack. And a number of archaeological discoveries were made there from all the way back to from 1855. All the way up until 1930, many, many things were discovered there. We have a look at some of the what things were found there. One thing was this clam. Another discovery there was a jaw at a place called Foxhole. A human jaw again, which is 1.5 to 2 million years old. Here's a drawing of the jaw. It was found by some workmen digging, who found this jaw and thought it was interesting. So they, after the day's work, they brought it to the pub. You know, in England they all have pubs, and the workers, they go and they drink beer at the pub, and then they brought this jaw. And when they, in the evening also, not only the workers came, but the local doctor, he also came, and he saw the jaw. The workers didn't really understand the importance, but he could see this is significant. So he bought it for a, you know, he gave a round of beer to everyone, and then he got the jaw. and then he studied it, and he studied and wrote about it, and other scientists were studying it also. And they concluded that it must be this old. Again, they couldn't give exact years like now, but we know the, according to the context they found it in, and it was, must be 1.5 to 2 million years old. The jaw, nobody knows what happened to the jaw. It was there, it was being discussed, we have drawings of it, and then it somehow or another disappeared or something like that. But it's reported a jaw like that was found. Here you have different strata of the of that area given with ages, and in these layers were in all the layers until down to the layers that could be 38 million years old were found tools, fireplaces, and one instance also a complete skeleton was found there in England. A lot of the discoveries and excavations were conducted by this scientist J. Reed Moore, where in this period, you know, from 1990 to until 1930, he was working there for 20 years, found many things which are dated between 2 and 5 million years back, to be conservative about it, and. So he found many things. As I mentioned, he found a skeleton, which at first he accepted as very old, but due to pressure from other scientists, he withdrew the claims that it was that old, although there's no reason to conclude it wasn't that old. But at least he found definitely complete accepted lots of stone tools and also fireplaces from that period. And it was a widely discussed in archaeological circles, and some archaeologists accepted it. These must be that old. Here is a quote from a Henry Fairfield Osborne. He was an American archaeologist. He was not just a small timer. He was actually the director of the Museum of Natural History in New York, the American Museum of Natural History. He was actually America's leading paleontologist and archaeologist in those days. So he wrote in 1921, J. Reed Moore's discoveries are a sure proof for the existence of humans in southeast England, humans intelligent enough to work flint and utilize fire before the end of Pliocene. Pliocene is a geological era that went from something like 5 until 2 million years ago. So he says, at least, you know, 2 million years ago and before that, there were people in England that could light fires and work with flint tools. So, but nowadays you know, don't hear about that. It is, again, it's completely forgotten, this discussion. Now we go back to Argentina. We pick up the story from the skull that was found there. Because what happened was that Florentino Ameghino had a brother called Carlos Ameghino, and he got angry because his brother was being offended and criticized and ridiculed. And so he decided, we're gonna make more expeditions and excavations and see if we can find some more evidence. So he conducted excavations from first 1887 until 1910, and then for two more years he conducted excavations at a place called Miramar, which is actually on the coast of Argentina to the Atlantic, into a what are they called, cliffs. You have these very steep cliffs by the ocean. The ocean is digging into the land and creates these cliffs, which exposes many layers from back thousands and millions of years back. So in some cliffs at Miramar, Carlos Ameghino was conducting excavations, and he found many things. He found stone tools. He found bones. He found one human bone from a spine bone from what it looks like from a human. He found also something like this. This is Carlos Ameghino. But he found this. This is a thigh bone from a toxodon. It's an South American animal that went extinct at least 3 million years old. In other words, there's been no toxodons for 3 million years. So this bone is at least 3 million years old. And what is interesting is that up on the top of this bone, there's an arrowhead embedded in the bone. So someone was shooting arrows in Argentina at least 3 million years ago. So he found discoveries like that. And I mean, these discoveries, again, attracted a lot of attention and a lot of critic. So as a result of all this criticism that these discoveries were attracting, around 1912, 13, something like that, Ameghino invited a group of the leading geologists and archaeologists of Argentina and Brazil to come and supervise the excavations. So there was a whole group of top scientists there just observing what was being discovered and witnessing and reporting it all. So here is a picture. What happened right here is that they were digging into the cliff, and as you can see below the arrow, you see a round object. Round object has appeared. It is still embedded in the cliff. So they stopped the excavation when they came to this point. Then they called all the scientists, come here, come here. And then all the scientists, they posed in front of the camera. The picture was taken. And then they continued digging and releasing not only one round object, but turns out there were three round objects like this were found there. They're called bolas. They are, it's stones that are worked to be like round spheres with a depression around on the middle. Yeah, and then you use rope or leather strings. You hold one of them and you swing them, and then you let go, and then you can use it as a weapon to catch small animals and birds and stuff like that. So they were found there in the presence of a group of scientists, and they are, again, 2 to 3 million years old, at least now. Now, a very interesting discovery from Italy was made in 1880. Maybe someone would think here at this point it would be really nice if actually some, you know, not just a few stone tools or a, you know, a piece of a bone like that were found. What if you found a complete human skeleton from many, many millions of years ago? Well, this is it. This is it. Not only one, four complete skeletons were found in northern Italy around 1880. They were found here. This is the place as it looks more or less today, 20 years ago. And here's one of the skulls that was found there. They were found by a professional geologist, Professor Ragazzoni, who himself dug out all the four skeletons. It was kind of a pit where they were digging for phosphate. They were mining there, and this professor, he had an agreement with the owner of the pit that were digging. If you find something interesting, stop digging. Call me, I'll come. And so they did that. They were digging there. And first time, when they came across what started looking like a skeleton, they stopped. Then Ragazzoni, he came, and he conducted the excavation of these skeletons. So in all, four skeletons were found there in layers that are between 2.7 up to 7 million years old. And they were widely discussed and accepted by many scientists. They must be this old, but also criticized. It was before that Java Man was discovered, so there were many scientists who were willing to accept a very old age for humans at that time. But of course, someone were criticizing, asking Ragazzoni, it could be graves. And Ragazzoni said, no, it was not graves. It wasn't here. Here's a drawing of what the critics said it could have been. You know, someone dug a grave in recent ages and filled up the pit, and this is what you found. But he said, no, it wasn't. This is what I found. All the layers above were undisturbed. And furthermore, all the skeletons, they were not found in what is typical position for someone in a grave. You know, you put someone down lying on the back with the hands down, arms down in a grave. This is how you put a dead body in a grave. But these were found actually lying on the belly with arms like this. It's actually, this area was part of a very shallow bay some million years ago, so it looks like these were people who drowned there, and they were skeletons found in positions typically of a drowned person. So they were found there. Another occasion in Italy, also a similar skeleton was also found. So they were altogether found five complete skeletons in Italy, which are maybe 7 million years old. But at least like 2.7 million years old. And Forbidden Archaeology has a long discussion on it. The skeletons are still there in a museum in Savona, and not displayed to the public, but they're there. And sometimes scientists have still been looking at them, and they don't know really what to think about them. They tried to carbon date them, but that carbon dating it gave a very young age, but if you actually look at the carbon dating, it was very flawed and actually, you know, biased. So that carbon dating is not really, cannot be trusted. And we have the report from the archaeologists who discovered it. They were found in undisturbed layers that are maybe 4 million years old. Of course, it's a problem with any archaeological discovery. You can always criticize it and say maybe some mistake was there. And the archaeologists, they cannot, what can they do? I mean, generally, in science, you like to be able to repeat an experiment. You know, a scientist makes an experiment, he reaches some conclusion, he presents that. Another scientist can go to the laboratory and he can repeat the experiment and confirm or falsify the experiment. You cannot do that with archaeology. Once someone has, excavated something, you cannot go and excavate it once again. That's just how it is. So you have to trust what was reported. Of course, you can. There will be written notes. There can be photos taken and so on. But ultimately, you can always say maybe it was faked. And what can you? Cannot be. So, Tutankhamun makes a point here. With that kind of criticism, it's fine to criticize like that if you do it across everything. But if you're selectively critical, what doesn't fit into your preconceived ideas of human origin, that you're extremely critical about, but you're very lenient when it comes to what confirms your favorite theory. That's not good science. And so you have to have a same standard of critique of everything. So if you have this extreme level of critique, you have to criticize, to the point of being completely unreasonable. And if you apply that standard to all archaeological discoveries, actually there would be no archaeological findings in the museums because you could reject everything. That's the actual fact. Here is an interesting case also from Portugal. From in the 1860s to 1880s, and now you can see we're getting old. We're getting 15 to 20 million years old. It was discoveries made by Carlos Ribeiro, who was the head of the Geological Survey of Portugal. In other words, he was the leading geologist of Portugal in those days. And he found many, many stone tools like this in Portugal. And they were dated to 15 to 20 million years. And they were very well documented. He was digging himself. He had a whole team. At one occasion, he had archaeologists from whole Europe came to a big conference in Lisbon. They went out at the site, and they also spent a whole day digging, excavating, and found more implements which are of this age 15 to 20 million years old. And they were widely accepted. Again, we are before the time, before the Java discovery, when they kind of just fix themselves on this idea of humans having only a young age. So they were widely accepted. They were displayed in these displays you see here. This is Tutankhamun visiting the Geological Museum in Portugal in the 90s. But in these displays, all these stone tools were exhibited when Carlos Ribeiro was the director of the Museum of Geology in Lisbon. It's interesting what happens. He had these tools exhibited with labels indicating an age of 15 to 20 million years. When Carlos Ribeiro died, his colleagues looked at the whole collection and said, 15 to 20 million years, oh, that's not possible. So they actually just changed the labels and gave them younger dates. Without any evidence, they just changed it and gave them an age of something like, here's a label there, from Paleolithicus superior with something like 30 to 40,000 years old. But that was not the date that was there given up originally. But they changed the dates. And then another next generation of archaeologists, then they actually concluded, what is the use of this, all these stones lying here? So they just took them and they hid them away. And they were no longer in displays. They were actually in the cupboards. You see behind Tutankhamun, there are cupboards. And there, this collection of stone tools were kept for... Actually, until Tutankhamun, he came in the 90s. He was the first scientist for 50 or 70 years who even had opened these cupboards and looked at these stone tools. But he got permission to have a look at them and take pictures of them, and here they are. Originally reported as 15 to 20 million years old stone tools from Portugal. A similar case was there in Belgium in the beginning of the 20th century. again, stone tools were found, and they were even older, 26 to 13 million years old, found by Professor Rito, who was the director of the Museum of either Geology or Archaeology of Brussels. And this is a place where the pit where all these tools were found. Here are some of the tools, like that. This is Drusokarma looking at the collection at the Museum of Brussels. More or less the same thing happened as in Portugal. The Professor Rito had these stone tools on exhibit, and with labels indicating an age of 26 to 30 million years old. But when he died, they just took the whole collection and kept it in locked cupboards. And Drusokarma, again, he was the first scientist in the 90s, first scientist for several generations to look at these stone tools. Now we go to another very, very interesting and at one point also very famous discovery from California from 1860 to 90. In the gold mines, you may be aware that gold was found in California in 1849, which started a big rush of all kinds of adventurers and wild people running to California, digging and washing out gold from the rivers, and it was wild, the Wild West. Not only individuals went there, but also big mining companies went, and they dug mines and shafts deep into mountains and excavated gold from there. And what's interesting is that inside these mines, not only did they find gold, but they also found stone tools and human bones. Human skeletons were found in there. That was reported. Scientists got involved and were reporting and were, claiming that actually it's true, we are finding archaeological implements inside these mines. Here is a picture of some of the miners from back then. Here is a picture of one such place called Table Mountain, where this is one of the old shafts from the 1800s. You can still go there. Drusokarma went with a group of devotees there and were finding all these shafts and so on. You can, if you want, you probably can go down there, but it's dangerous. This kind of mining is extremely dangerous. Some claim that the miners are just making fun with the scientists, but some miners reported you have never been working in such a mine. It's not a place where you make fun. It's actually quite scary to work in such a place. So here is a drawing of Table Mountain. As you see, they made both horizontal shafts into the mountain and vertical shafts. And the red, the layer with the red color is kind of the ancient rock, could be hundreds of millions of years old. And then the yellow, that's, these are riverbeds. I'm sorry, the text is in Danish, I haven't got to change that, The yellow, you see the yellow riverbeds, that's where they found the gold, in the sand in the riverbeds. Above the riverbeds, there are a layer of volcanic deposits that is 20 to 33 million years old. And then again, on top of that, in another volcanic layer, 9 million years old. So all the implements they found were at least 9 million years old, and they could be 20 to 33 million years old, maybe as much as 55 million years old. Here you have some of the geological ages given, and you see Probably they're from the period called Oligocene, which is 25 to 38 million years old. What they found were very refined stonework like this. This is a mortar and a pestle. So this is not, in one sense, it's not Stone Age people. I mean, maybe it worked, but this is very, you know, it's highly refined, it's polished. It's really first-class stonework they found, and they found many, many stone tools like this. It was researched and documented by Professor Whitney, who was the leading geologist of California in those days. He's still, America, or the biggest, the tallest mountain in U.S. outside Alaska is Mount Whitney in California, very tall mountain. And that's named after Professor Whitney. So he was a big man in those days. So he published a book called about the auriferous gravels of the Sierra Nevadas, which was published in collaboration with Harvard and Cambridge. So it was really a top scientific presentation about these archaeological discoveries. He's saying, we are finding this. There were people living 9 million years or even further back in California in those days. And these discoveries ended up being very severely criticized. And nowadays you don't hear anything about them because there were scientists who actually started a deliberate campaign to have these discoveries rejected. And it seems that they succeeded. One such scientist was this man, William Holmes, from the Smithsonian Institution. And he wrote once, "Perhaps if Professor Whitney had fully appreciated the story of human evolution as it is understood today, he would have hesitated to announce a conclusions formulated notwithstanding the imposing array of testimony with which he was confronted." So, in other words, the last three sentences, that's Tutankhamun writing. In other words, if the facts do not fit the favored theory, the facts, even an imposing array of them, must go. So, again, this was after the Java Man discovery, where they had, decided humans were a very recent human race, is very young. So, this is giving you an idea what was going on in those days. This is a Charlton Heston is his name. And of you, is it known? He was famous actor like that. NBC, the American Broadcasting Company, NBC. Made a big program called The Mysterious Origin of Man, which Charlton Heston was a host. When Forbidden Archaeology came out, it actually got quite a much attention. It ended up to the point that NBC made a TV program about it, which was aired in the US and seen by 40 million people. And Tutankhamun and Sataputa, they were there and been interviewed, and they were discussing discoveries and stuff like that. And then Charlton Heston, he was a host on that program. And it's interesting that they also wanted to present the California finds. And therefore NBC went to the museum, University of Berkeley, where all these stone tools actually are still kept at the University of Berkeley, stored away. They're not being displayed, but they have them. So NBC went and asked the University of Berkeley, can we film these stone tools from the California gold mines? And the university said, no, they're not at the university; they are at a warehouse. It's far from here. And said, but they said also, we don't have people to do it. The TV company said, we can pay for it. We can get people. We'll pay for it. We'll pay you. So there was some something, you know, negotiation going on. Finally, the university just said, no, you cannot film them. That was it. So therefore, they, in the program, they had to use the pictures from the 1800s. You saw this stone, this mortar that was from the book from 1880. So they had only to use that. And after, it's interesting what happened when they had shown the program, there was a, you know, a reaction from scientists. The NBC was, I don't know if they bombarded with emails, but they received some very fierce emails from different, for example, from this Professor Hurst from a Museum on Anthropology at Berkeley. He wrote, actually not to NBC, but to what is called the Federal Communications Commission, that is that office, government office, which issues permissions for broadcasting companies to, you know, to send, to broadcast in all over the country. So he wrote to this office, this email is a request for the FCC to investigate and I hope seriously censure the National Broadcasting Company for crassly commercial, irresponsible journalism that seriously violates the trust the public should have in materials that are touted as credible by a major network. At the very least, NBC should be required to make substantial prime-time apologies to the viewing audience for a sufficient period of time so that the audience clearly gets the message that they were duped. In addition, NBC should perhaps be fined sufficiently so that a major fund for public science education can be established. In other words, this sign said, this should be censured. It should not be allowed to make programs like that. And fortunately, the office did not accept it. This email came after the program was shown the first time, and then, but the office said no. And, they didn't do anything wrong. Then NBC again sent it a second time. Another 20 million people watch it. But you see, you know, you
is it? Crazy,
yeah. They, and you know, you talk about you want a, you know, an open society, freedom of speech, and like that. But here they have signs open saying this should be censored. This should be censored. It should not be allowed to shown to people. Yeah, there, I mean, it was definitely caused a lot of controversy, a lot of friends, and a lot of enemies. So it's interesting. Later on, Tushakarma, he wrote a big paper on these California discoveries, presented at a World Archaeological Congress in 2003 in Washington D.C. And for that, he again would like to write about the California discoveries. So he went to the University of Berkeley and again asked permission, could he go and take pictures of these stone tools and write about them. And apparently, since he was associated with the World Archaeological Congress, which is a very respected thing, actually they gave him permission to enter. So he actually, around 2000, he actually got permission to get into and see these stone tools and take pictures of them. So actually, they are there. Now these were found in the 1880s in California gold mines. These stone tools. Few last examples. I'm sorry, we're running late today. 1862. One geological journal reported a human skeleton was found in a coal mine at a depth of 30 meters, and the coal in that layer is about 286 to 320 million years old, reported in the journal called The Geologist in 1862. There's a report, the skeleton, I mean, I don't think anyone had any idea what happened to that skeleton. In 1852, Scientific American reported a discovery that was at least 600 million years old. And I don't think you can read it, but it was a metal vase metal alloy that is, you know, unknown alloy with carvings not known from any known culture. It was a metal vase that was uncovered when a foundation was being made where some rocks was being exploded. You know, some old rocks, at least 600 million years old, was being exploded to create a foundation for a house. And when after the explosion, you know, you had all these rocks scattered, and one piece of rock had cracked, and inside was this vase, metal vase. These 600 million years old. Here, this is from the 1980s and onwards from South Africa. This is 2.7 billion. This is MIA means, it's, sorry, again, that's a Danish, but it means billion years, not millions, but billion years old. In a mine in South Africa, they're finding spheres like this. They're very hard. They're harder than you cannot scratch them with a steel pen. They're round like this. They're about this size here, and they have these rings around them.
They're metal.
Yeah, metal is more like stone, but they're harder than metal, harder than steel, and they don't know what it is. Don't know what it is. They found 700 of them.
700?
Several. Not 700, but you know, 200, 300 of them. 150. Good number of them. And, yeah, like that. That's kind of, you know, the end of the... somewhat the end. I have a few more things I've added after this. But this is... Drusokarma's presentation. So here we have the conventional scenario we started out with, but if we want to include all the discoveries that are not being mentioned, that have been forgotten and pushed aside, actually no, then this scenario is actually different. You find evidence of humans all the way back, as far back as you can trace life, actually. That's the actual message, which is, you know, is you know, supports the Vedic literatures that actually there have been humans on this planet for as long as there has been life on this planet also. This presentation you saw here has been shown many places all over the world, such as in the Royal Institute in London, at the Academy of Science in Moscow, Department of Anthropology in Sofia in Bulgaria, at the Ukrainian Academy of Sciences in Kiev, at the World Archaeological Congress in Delhi, in Zadar. Where is Zadar?
Croatia.
That's Croatia. Okay, good. And I know. In China, Beijing, in Cape Town, South Africa. Of course, one can say, I think I'll just skip that. Or, no, anyway, you know, an obvious question, why is this evidence not in the secondary literature? And that can be, that's a little, can be a long discussion and with many examples and so on. But to put it briefly, there's a knowledge filtration going on. There's a knowledge filter. The blue box represents a knowledge filter. And some things which are in conformity with preconceived ideas of human origin, they pass through this filter very, very easily. Whereas that which is not in conformity with the favored theory is not being accepted and rejected. And this is, so in this there's a biased treatment of evidence. That is what is going on. Forbidden Archaeology was published in 1993, and of course there were a few examples also of that from the 1990s. What now we are here, we are in 2020 now. Still, it's a 30 years. Are they still finding, you know, have discoveries like this? One might ask after this presentation, and the answer is yes, it's still going on. Here, this is something I have added. This is not due to karma. I just added from, you know, from what I'm coming across. For example, in 2014, in Happisburg in England, footprints were found. 800,000 year old human footprints were found in England. on the coast. They were actually on the Tatasta. You know what Tatasta means? It's you know, between. You know, it's not ocean, it's not land, it's kind of the beachfront there. So there were some excavations going on, and suddenly they came across these footprints and had to quickly document them and photograph them and so on, because afterwards they were erased by the sea again. But they were found, they were reported like that. In August 2015, a finger bone was found in Tanzania, that must be 1.84 million years old. It's a finger bone from, actually, I don't know if you can see clearly, it's the little left finger, it's the inner bone here, was found. I mean, it's a very tiny bone. But apparently they can clearly see this has human anatomy. It doesn't have any other anatomy. That is human anatomy. Of course, the scientist who found it in 2015 said, "No, it seems like the apes living at that time had amazingly human-like anatomy." But they don't know. Again, it's just their bias. What we can say is that, well, they found a human bone, 1.85 million years old. Then from Greece, from Crete, from the island of Crete, in 2017. Again, footprints were found, a collection of footprints that looks completely like anatomical human footprints. And these were dated to 5.7 million years old. So they keep finding all, these things again and again up to this, And this is just a small sample of what is actually being discovered.
But there are some footprints in South America, it's older now. Like, wasn't it mentioned in the...
I don't remember. He asks if wasn't there also some footprint found in South America, and which are mentioned in the Forbidden Archaeology, which are even older. I don't remember.
Thank you for this elaborate historical
thank you
presentation.
This is Trutakama's presentation. So
yeah,
thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. I just wondering in this age of extensive communication, internet, and all these tools which are there, where science doesn't have so much it has, but not so much influence on filtering, right? Whatever there is controversy, flat earth theory and all this stuff. I mean, it's difficult to stop communication or some findings to be like suppressed. You know, everyone can photo from the iPhone the skeleton which he found in the courtyard, whatever. Is there some, and there groups are gathering according to this, you have Flat Earth Society, for example. I wonder, this research work was done by Dutakarma and Sadaputa and make this Forbidden Horology, which has some impact. I wonder, is there some other groups of enthusiasts, if I say like that, or scientists, or archaeologists, geologists, who obviously finds this kind of discoveries or anomalies in which are there as experiments or facts,
and which are actually available and being published now.
Yeah, available, and because also archaeology also goes on. It has new tools, more efficient, more precise. So anyone can be an archaeologist in these days. I mean, because you have so much technologies you can use for that. Yeah. GPS is like that. You go there, you have somehow. I wonder that is not more reference on that. Like connected references or collected?
I'd say yes, there is. There is a very great, quite a large group of, you can say, alternative ecologists, very active nowadays, and they are, you know, and they publish on the internet, YouTube.
Mm.
There's a lot. Of course, the problem nowadays, there's so much, and there's no filter. You know, that's not, you know, filter is always a good thing if you filter.
Sure.
You know, it has to, and that you see, actually, that's one thing that's characteristic of Drusa Karma Sariputta's work. They're actually filtering a lot. They have a very high standard. There's many more cases that they, you know, maybe could have presented, but they chose not to because they don't meet the standard, you know, of, you know, the highest professional standard. They all, Drusa Karma only presents the highest professional standard. But what you, a lot of the things you find out there is, there's no filter, and there's and some is directly fraudulent. I spoke with someone, I think it was up in London yesterday, we talked about that, for example. The devotee is sometimes a little too gullible, and if someone make a Photoshop of someone like, that looks like someone found a giant somewhere, which is actually just a big Photoshop thing, then devotees, even, and others, but also some devotees just jump on it and share it and see they found it and prove it, you know, Dwapara Yuga and so on. So one has to be, you know, so that's a problem. One has to still be quite selective when one accepts, you know, before accepting anything. That being said, yes, a lot of things are actually coming up and being, you know, made public that would not have been made public before. And when it comes to archaeology, so much interesting has come up nowadays in terms of, actually, that's, I'll be showing some of that tomorrow, if that's okay. I have a presentation on ancient civilizations, which is, it doesn't go as far back as Drusa Karma he does. He is quite unique, and I know there are maybe a few who are kind of following his lead, following his footsteps, but I'm not aware of someone really on a massive scale looking into it the way he did. But there is many and very professional researchers. They may not be professional by hired by universities, but in their methods and in their dedication, they're very professional. In looking into our past 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 years ago, where standards, scenario is that, you know, it was just at that time primitive stone age, hunters and gatherers and like that. But these alternative archaeologists are finding a lot of evidence that actually there was some very advanced thing going on this planet at that time. That actually there must have been culture, probably even a worldwide culture that was mastering technologies that we're not even completely able to master today. And a lot of the, you know, and if you look at it all over the world, there are enormous, first of all, enormous stone monuments and stone structures which cannot be, have been worked by, you know, a primitive culture. I mean, the obvious thing is we have the pyramids, you know, and we're told, and you know, they were built by slaves dragging, you know, these huge stones across the sandy deserts of Egypt, 500 kilometers or something like that.
We hear one in Bosnia.
I've been there.
Have you been there?
You've been there?
No.
You should go. It's a funny. I mentioned that last night, and also the devotees say, it's just another fake. My opinion, it's not fake. It's, as far as you can see, these are actually Bosnian pyramids are really, they actually are some man-made structures, and they are bigger than the Egyptians. They're older, and they're completely, you know, out of the scope of standard scenario. If you look at Wikipedia, then they say that these are just, you know, so-called pyramids, and you know, and they're not standard cultures are not accepting them. But you go there, then there's excavation going on. There's a lot of stonework. When you remove a big layer of soil, you get down to very fantastic, stonework. The whole things are paved. The pyramids are completely, you know, pyramid shape, built according to very precise directions and so on. I have no doubt. And there are tunnels, you know, kilometers of tunnels, ancient tunnels under them. So anyway, but even without them, there are so many. I mean, this is coming out, and you know, so there's a big alternative archaeological movement nowadays, made possible by the information age and the internet and the YouTubes and whatever is there. Marty?
Thanks very much for a nice presentation. I'm just curious, so here were mainly the facts like skulls or skeletons or so. So are there any evidences or facts about, I would say, technology? If you look now, you have, for example, bionic limbs or something, you know, that you combine the body and some technology. So do they find any this kind of things?
Millions of years old.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it could stay as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's one chapter in Forbidden Archaeology about that. There are a few examples. There's not very many, but there are a few examples of like some gold chains found in coal mines. There are examples of some stone carvings with letters, not letters, or symbols that we don't know what were. There are, I think, a big iron jar was found that was millions of years old, but it's not much. And, you know, why it's not much, Tutankhamun, when he's asked that question, he gives two reasons why it's not much. One point is that, our modern culture, 10 million years from now, how much will you actually be able to find of it? The plastic? Plastic will have disintegrated a long time ago. Wood, of course, disintegrates. Metals corrode, except gold, basically. The only thing that will be left will be the solid stone.
I'm just thinking, you know, from the perspective, like, that perhaps exist some materials we don't know now, so that they could stay for ages, you know, it could be.
Yeah.
So did they find any special objects or some, you know, which we cannot comprehend with our brain right now?
Actually, the last object I showed you, these spheres from South Africa, could fit into that category. They cannot really explain what they are. But such examples are not many. Also because a lot of these primitive, very old stone tools, I mean, they were, for the most part, they were found by professional scientists. Because they expect to find these, they're looking for them and they find them. And when they find them, it doesn't, I mean, okay, the age might be a little out of place, but it's within their paradigm that there were humans who could work stone tools. But when they find, like, very advanced, you know, like, evidence of advanced technology, they're not looking for it because they don't think it was ever there. And when they find it, or when it's found, they will not really take it seriously. Because, as I said, Forbidden Archaeology has a chapter on that. But most of these discoveries were published in newspapers and magazines, but not in professional scientific journals. Because because only a newspaper would be so unserious to take it serious. Mm-hmm. So again, there's a second bias there, which means we would expect such reports would be quite few.
And what we can learn from that, you know, for the future, what would you suggest from these archaeological researches? What is the lesson for the future?
Oh, I mean, the real message, the most important message is have faith in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, that's really the underlying motive for this research from the point of view of Satipuṭṭha Duttakarma. Because we might doubt, you know, all these Vedic scriptures, and you know, most people think this is just mythology. So it's mainly the purpose is to actually show, no, it's not mythology, and we should have faith in the Vedic scriptures. I'm sure in terms of archaeology you can also have learn some secondary lessons and you know, be more open-minded and change the view of history, which ultimately, of course, would have big implications, because if you change the view of history, you will also change the view of Vedas and Vedic culture. It's part of the turning of the tide of the suppression of the Vedic literatures and Vedic culture, which have been taking place ever since modern Europeans got into contact with India.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. I think we should stop this now. Sorry for this. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.